Welcome to the Questo Show.
All right, when you fix one problem, another one pops up. Hear that crackle? No, you need to have your headphones on. My microphone's not even set.
The crackle?
There we go.
I hear no crackling.
There's a bit of a...
Maybe that's the sound of duckskin past. Where is it? Crackling.
Okay. Well, I could easily delete all that and start over and it'll sound perfect, but not about that life. How about this one? How's it going? My name is Chris Crespo. That's Drew Sagogburn. Drew. Hey, Drew. How's it going, dude? How you doing with the duck fat and the duck skin and the duck sauce? There's no duck sauce involved. Is there any duck in duck sauce?
No. I think it's just made maybe to put on. I don't know. That's a good question. I really don't know the ins and outs of duck sauce. I've always just, put it on my spring rolls and stuff. I really wasn't into duck when I was heavy into duck sauce.
But now you're into duck.
Maybe.
And you're not so much into duck sauce.
Maybe duck sauce would be good on duck.
Maybe. We're going to have to find that out pretty soon. Welcome to DuckCast. I'm your host,
Christopher Crespo.
Christopher Crespo.
Christopher.
Hanging out with Duckster Cogburn.
Duckster Cogburn. I like it.
We're now just every episode, no matter what, just going to talk about duck, different ways you can cook it, things you can do with it, skin, the fat, the meat, the thighs. Today's episode, duck confit and why it should be included in most of your meals. Drew, take it away.
It's delicious. It's not really necessarily good for you, but it is delicious. And I mean, it's just shredded, slow cooked duck fat rendered in its own. I mean, duck meat rendered in its own fat. So, I mean, it's like.
So breakfast, duck confit breakfast. So what are we doing? Scrambled eggs and duck confit?
Duck confit omelets.
Duck confit omelets. Lunch.
Sandwiches. Asian style, so I don't know.
Mid-afternoon snack.
Just lightly fried.
Duck and feed itself lightly fried. And dinner.
On a plate with potatoes roasted in duck fat and carrots as well.
And finally, dessert.
Duck confit ice cream. No, duck fat ice cream.
Duck fat ice cream. We're using duck confit, though. You're just going with the fat?
Just going with the fat.
Okay. I'll give you that one. There you go. That was the first episode of DuckCast with your host, Duckster Cogburn, and a sidekick, Chris, because I'm gonna have to let him take the reins on that one. Tune in for episode 2 next time we remember this bad joke. So we're doing a bonus episode here, spoiler episode, talking about that Mad Max Fury Road, starring Tom Hardy as Max. Rokitansky? I can never get his last name right.
No,
do you have it there in front of you on the IMDb?
Yeah, hang on, blah, blah, blah.
One, Max Rokitansky, something like that.
One of them is
Charlize Theron as Imperator Furiosa.
Yes.
And,
yes, Rokitansky is correct.
Rokitansky. Max Rokitansky. And, I guess, spoiler alert, we both liked it quite a bit.
Oh, good lord.
But
yes.
If you listen to episode 123 already with Curtis Earth, then you know that we both really, really liked it. And we both tried to convince Kurt that he had to go see it.
It's not that hard to convince. I mean, it's fucking.
Well, it depends sometimes.
Really?
Like, I was talking to my Broheim.
Uh huh.
Right?
Yes.
And I was like, dude, you got to go see Mad Max. And he was like, really?
What do you mean? What? Have you not seen the trailer?
And I was like, dude, you got to go see it. He's like, I thought it was, but aren't like remakes always not as good as the original? And I was like, that's not a remake. So of all the marketing stuff, the marketing's been really good.
Yeah.
Like very awesome trailers. And obviously they had a lot of footage to work with.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Right. So I could see, how could you not make a good trailer for that movie? Right.
Seriously.
But for how good the marketing's been, the one thing that I guess they really didn't get across as well is that it's not really a reboot or a remake.
I guess people just assume it's a remake because
it's a new guy. New Max.
Well, no, we're in the era of remakes.
Right.
I mean, it's called Mad Max Fury Road.
Right.
None of the other movies have been called Mad Max Fury Road. It's Mad Max,
but
Mad
not
Max
in the
2,
not
Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome.
No, the movies don't all have the same title. It's Mad Max.
Like I said, Mad Max 2. The Road Warrior.
The Road Warrior.
Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. And now Mad Max : Fury Road.
And those other three movies do stand alone. The first movie is Max, most of the time Max has his family.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rival gang eventually slaughters them and then he kills them. And then he's a loner cop, right?
Uh-huh.
Second movie is like looking for fucking gas and he's going up against Lord Humongous' gang. And then third movie is Thunderdome and Tina Turner and all the kids. three totally different stories.
Yeah.
So there's no reason why. I mean,
same thing with Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah, people should have seen
a nice little self-contained story.
Further down the line somewhere. Yeah. It's not a remake or a reboot in any way.
No.
But actually a direct sequel to movies that came out 30 years ago.
Yes.
That is very rare. They tried doing that with Superman Returns. Mm-hmm. That was supposed to be a direct sequel to Superman 2.
Really?
Yeah, as of 3 and 4 never happened.
Interesting.
And it didn't work out. No. So, although Quentin Tarantino apparently has like a 20 or 30 page review laying around somewhere of how great that movie is. He's going to publish one day. When he retires from filmmaking in a few years from directing, he's going to focus a lot on writing. And he's going to start cranking out like weird, crazy stuff. And then we're gonna find out that the whole time
really
this dude's really insane and maybe his tastes aren't that great.
Yeah.
But yeah, but God bless the guy. Yeah, so it is pretty unique in the way it's approaching the story, because it is its own thing, but it is a sequel, and maybe the marketing didn't get that across. So some people need to be told, hey, it's not a remake, it's not a reboot, it's its own thing, and it's fucking dude, is it something? Now, story. How would you sum up the story? Because it's not, the story's pretty, what you would call, thin.
I mean, it's pretty, it's Furiosa, played by Charlize Theron, Imperator Furiosa, my mistake.
What a badass name.
she's trying to free some people.
This is a spoiler episode.
She's trying to free basically the leader. What's his name?
Immortan Joe.
He's like a warlord basically.
Yes.
And this is post-apocalyptic world, so he has sex slaves.
Yes.
That are bearing his children.
He has the breeders.
Breeders, exactly. Yeah. And Furiosa trying to free some breeders, basically.
Yeah.
And bring them to the green place that she remembers from her childhood.
From where she was taken from.
Uh-huh.
Because she has to work. See, there's a whole, like, backstory there.
Yeah.
That they don't even touch on, because there's very little exposition.
Max just kind of happens into the situation.
Yeah, he does, really. So there's this whole thing going on where she's, like, betraying Immortan Joe to free the wives. And they're all part of the war boys, who are like, they're the crazy religious, like suicidal. They want to die in battle.
So they can go to Valhalla.
So they can ride the roads to Valhalla forever. Yeah. Fucking so funny.
They can get there all shiny and chrome, Chris.
Shiny and chrome. So funny. And while she's betraying them, like off on the side, the movie does start with Max.
Yeah. Well, okay. Max, basically, he's just chilling in the wasteland, doing his thing.
Literally just chilling. Yeah.
Gets chased down by some raiders.
By the war boys.
Yeah, the war boys find him and take his car and take him.
Yeah.
They make him a quote-unquote blood bag. He literally becomes a source of blood, and he's on there's a scene where they're tattooing him.
Yeah.
And he puts on the back, you can read, it says typo negative.
Yeah.
Universal donor. So they just hang him up, and anytime somebody needs blood, they use him. Siphon his blood into them. So
gross.
Yeah.
There's a...
So Nicholas Holt...
When he was getting that tattoo on his back...
Yeah.
The guy was doing the tattoo work. I noticed he had a lot of blood on his mouth. And I was like, oh, that's gross. Why would he... This is cannibal crazy. But then later, I figured, oh, it was typo negative. This guy is tasting their blood, and through taste, he's telling what type it is. Is that possible?
That's got to be some... Who knows? Maybe he knows.
He knows. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So yeah, and it ends up being the blood bag for Nicholas Beast Holt from X-Men First Class.
Exactly.
And those car commercials.
Uh huh.
That's where I know him now. From.
Yeah.
Goddamn car.
And so you know they're going to get Furiosa.
Yeah. So it is a funny chain of events. Like Max just gets caught up, and then he's like just there for the blood. He's all captured and he's fucked or whatever. Awesome scene where he tried to get out. He's like,
he tried to escape a couple times.
And it was good. But then he did it. So because they had to have him, turn him into a blood bag. Furiosa's running off with the wives. So Immortan Joe's like, everyone mobilized. We're going after him. And Nicholas Holt's he's all fucked up from something earlier. And he's getting the blood transfusion. He's like, I'll just bring the blood bag with me. And he straps Max to the front of the car. And they
go after Furiosa.
And that's how Max gets involved in all this.
Max gets involved. There's crazy car chase, explosions, fire, and then from that point,
I mean, the movie does start with like Max trying to bust out. And yeah. that's an extended sequence that's really crazy and cool and exciting. And
well,
fun.
No, I mean,
but then, like, it takes, I don't know, 10 minutes to set up the Citadel and Furiosa and all that stuff before then the real car chase stuff happens. Yeah. Maybe more like 15 minutes to get to that point. But then from that point, for the next, like, hour and a half of the movie, for the last hour and a half of the movie, it's, like, almost nonstop car chase.
Well, it's pretty much nonstop action the entire movie.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying.
I mean, there's only... It's, setup in the beginning. It's car chase, chill a little bit. Something crazy happens even in the chill, and then, you know, whatever.
They get a little... Because they're, like, so far... The wasteland is so deep.
So
it's, like, a three-day car chase. Like, sometimes they're like hours and hours behind, but then you can hear their war drums and their crazy guitar player.
Oh, dude, the blind mutant that's strapped to a bungee cord strapped to a giant array of amplifiers and speakers on wheels.
Yeah.
Traveling with the troop.
With the war party.
And he's like one of the... Well, they got war drummers on the back.
Like giant drums.
And they have a war lead guitarist.
Yeah. and he's playing him. It's a battle.
Yeah, he's playing a half guitar, half bass that shoots fire out of the head of it.
Yes. Yeah, the flamethrower guitar.
It's so fucking crazy.
It is insane.
Man, it is.
Just one of the little details that makes this movie what it is.
Well, all the action scenes are, like, stylized. It's very heavily saturated in either blues or orange, the entire movie.
One of the most colorful, vibrant post-apocalyptic movies you'll ever see.
No.
Yeah, I mean, the sand is so orange.
Yeah, it is.
Such gorgeous dirt. How did he do that?
Yeah, I don't know. But it worked, man. That movie, yeah.
Yeah, so they're car chasing. Max finally, you know, through, because that's that part, that chase that goes
the
up through
chases,
the...
whole chase, yeah, no.
That chase that stops, it's like leg one. That's like lap one.
They go through the sandstorm.
The electrical sandstorm.
All of the fucking crazy things. I mean,
which has tornadoes inside it.
There are cars that are just getting swept up by tornadoes, exploding in midair. You see people going up with them and then being shot out from the explosions, hitting the ground, rolling in front.
Max is on the back of a car that whole time, like hanging on.
On the back of a car. Well, in the beginning, he was strapped to the front with a chain running from his bloodline to the other guy. Because he's still using it as a blood bag.
Yeah, they're hooked up the whole time.
And then at the end, he's on... Somehow, that gets torn off, and then he gets on the back.
Yeah.
And he's still connected to this guy by a fucking chain. He can't get off.
The chain with the bloodline, like the plastic line weaved through it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so then when the storm is over, they're attached to each other. And that's how... That all eventually leads up to them hooking up with Furiosa, right? There's that scene where he comes around. He has unconscious Nicholas Holt around his shoulders.
And he's got the weird face mask thing that's still chained to his... He's still bloodlined to him.
He's all chained up. He's all fucked up.
and then he comes across the breeders hosing themselves off, wearing...
Next to nothing.
Next to nothing, and it was white next to nothing, too. So as they were hosing themselves off and it was getting wet, you could really see the form.
Right, yeah. So that definitely made him stop for a second.
Yeah.
Sure, you haven't seen anything like that in a while.
You're in the middle of the apocalypse, and all of a sudden you come across five super hot chicks wearing close to nothing, bathing themselves.
Yeah. And then one chick who's...
Got
one arm.
No arm and a robot.
Stumpy Charlize Theron.
She's a badass, though. Man.
She is a complete badass. A one-armed badass. Well, then she has that awesome robot arm thing.
Yeah, she does.
Then it's not like it's anything... I mean, she uses it to, like, she can block things with it better.
Yeah.
As opposed to your
real
arm.
And it's got, like, a
perma arm.
Grip or something, so you can just kind of go up and... Because she does the horn with it. While she's driving.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She does. Yeah, she actually uses it.
Yeah.
Like in hand.
Yeah.
It's like those... remember the Terminator... two toys where it's like the thing you put your hand in there and then you use the
that's
fingers.
What it looked like,
That's got it. Those are pretty cool.
Yeah.
Can never find one big enough though for my fat little arms when I was a kid.
Anyway,
it was a shame. So Max finds him and then eventually leads to all of them on the truck together.
Going to the green place.
It takes a while for Nicholas Holt's character, the war boy, to team up with them because he has to first shame himself right in front of Immortan Joe with his mediocrity.
Yeah, he does that because the entire time they're being chased by three different war parties. They're
being chased by Morton Joe's boys.
Yep. The bullet farmers.
The bullet farmers. That's scary enough. And then the gas town people.
Yeah, the gas town.
And then when they're going through hostile territory, there's like the gang with the spiky cars. They show up to like try to hijack shit. And then there's
the
gang
on the motorcycles that are in the canyons.
Yes, that they made a deal with. Yeah. And then they're blowing shit up and stuff. And then there's the polecats.
Oh, yeah.
The polecats show up like halfway through. You're like, oh, these motherfuckers with these giant things swirling around. I saw that in the trailer.
I mean, yeah.
So many.
There are lots of villains, lots of car explosions. I mean, the list goes on and on.
So many moving parts.
The entire movie, yeah. The entire movie is just filled with this nonsense.
And you're never lost.
No, but because it's all moving. All the chaos is moving in a direction. And then it turns around and it goes right back to where it started.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty funny. So yeah. All the Immortan Joe stuff. All right, let's talk about Immortan Joe for a second. What's the guy's name?
Immortan Joe is Hugh Keyes Bird.
He was in the original Mad Max. He played the main bad guy, Toe Cutter. And so it's the same actor, but totally a different character. Because Toe Cutter died. Immortan Joe, he runs the Citadel because he controls the water. And it's a whole, Chinatown thing. Whoever controls the water controls everyone, right?
Yes.
So he controls access to the water that they pump out of the ground. And we're introduced to him. He's all gross. He's got the tumors. They're all suffering some sort of tumor thing. I guess radiation, nuclear fallout affecting everyone,
exactly.
Right? So his body is all fucked up and gross. And they put on a crazy outfit that clear...
Yeah, the clear armor.
Yeah, the armor and then the mask.
Well, yeah, well, it's to make...
That's connected to something that's, like, breathing.
Obviously, he's some decrepit, genetically inferior old man who just happens to be in power. So, you know, he's got himself all geared up. And he's got a bunch of mutant kids, too.
A bunch of mutant kids and that giant dude. And
Rictus Erectus is his name.
That's awesome.
He's wearing that weird face mask thing the whole time.
Yeah. And then that little weird guy in that chair.
They're all drinking mother's milk.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Which is, gross. But, you got to get your nutrients somehow, right? So, yeah, he's warlorded it up. He's using all his resources, which includes the people, using them as resources just for his own purposes, right? And he has his deals with the gas town people and the bullet farmers, so I'm sure they're sharing everything, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because especially if you got the water, man. You got
one dude's got the water, one dude's got the gas, one dude's got the bullets.
So you're sharing it all. And then they all team up to go after Furiosa. And there's that one. All right. I don't want to. Because that's super. It's all about the spoilers, right? So the first time I was really like surprised by something in this movie was about halfway through. Immortan Joe's like leading the charge in his crazy like Frankenstein car thing. He's like up in the front.
Yeah.
And
like a monster truck.
Like hearse thing with old like fins, like 50s
so
fins.
Weird. It's a Frankenstein car. They all are.
Yeah. They put a bunch of weird cars together.
But they made them. They all drive.
They all did. Like the jacked up Beetle with the V8 engine that Holt was driving.
That's the great thing about this movie. Like, everything that you're watching, you have to realize you're not watching CG cars.
It's like
they built all of these cars and they filmed all of this nonsense out in the desert.
Yeah,
like this, they actually, those cars exist.
Yeah, there may be a couple shots where they like they had to recreate a car with CGI because they destroyed it earlier in the movie. They shot the movie linear.
Yes.
Because the cars were getting destroyed along the way, so they had to do everything like they shot the story from start to finish. They had to.
Because
very rare to do a movie like that.
A lot of those cars probably are in the junkyard right now.
Now, yeah. So many have been fucked. They've been fucked. Where are we going now? We went off a tangent about the cars. And Morton Joe's leading the charge in his crazy car. He's about to get the war rig, and the wives are like trying to help out. One of them is like the leader of them, Splendid.
Yeah.
Right? She's the favorite one. Mm-hmm. And... she's like hanging off the side of the truck. Oh, I think she's trying to protect Furiosa from like getting shot or whatever. Like,
she was trying to protect everybody.
She was trying to protect everyone. And she's like hanging off the side of the truck and it's all crazy. And then they're coming up to an outcropping of rocks, mm-hmm. right? Because they're out in the crazy desert. And it smashes into the door that she was hiding behind. And I was like, oh shit, are they really going to like kill her? And then she pops out like she moved out of the way. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I guess they're not really going to do that.
Not until later.
And then not even later, like 10 seconds later, something happens.
And where she gets chucked out of the car.
She goes flying off the truck, goes under Morton Joe's tires, and he runs her over. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, pregnant. She's the one that was about to pop. She's having like contractions and shit.
Yeah.
I was like, man, they're going to kill her and the baby.
Yes.
So all right, we'll get to that in a second. All right, so they keep going. Morton Joe hangs back because he just ran over his favorite breeding wife, right? And he's standing there with her in his arms. Did you notice
his mouth? Was open.
It was open.
Yeah, the mask.
The one was he was screaming like, no! Ah!
Yeah.
It was crazy. So weird looking.
It was awesome.
And then the rest of the movie, it was closed the rest of the time. Never opened again. I was like, oh, that is so
awesome,
like nightmarish and creepy and cool.
Well, the whole movie's got that nightmarish and kind of creepy vibe to it, with Max's hallucinations,
the dream logic thing going on when they're going through the wasteland and at night, and the people are walking around those stilt things. Yeah. Like, what? These guys can't touch the ground. What's going on here? It's so bizarre looking.
Water's poison, bro.
It's so weird looking. That was the first time I was like, what? This movie is fucking insane. They just later they have the girl, put her in the back of the thing. She's dead. Like, baby's baby alive? Yeah, baby's alive. Right, let's cut it out of there.
Cut it out, yeah.
Guy's just like, all right, no problem. It's the same dude that tastes the blood for the blood types. He's like, no problem.
He's the organic mechanic, is what they call
it. Yeah, that is. That's right. That's so cool. They pull him out, pull out the baby, and he's just like, you only see like its feet or whatever. And he's like, yep.
Dead.
No, he says, no mouth. It's like, oh, no mouth. No, doesn't have a mouth. Too bad, too. Would have been a nice one. Would have been a boy. And then he tells him, like, you had a little brother. Say, I had a baby brother. He was perfect. That was so weird. And everyone was like, yeah.
It was. Well, I mean, leaders of a cult.
Yeah, so many weird things going on here and there. Even the little details. Like, there was one point where some guy was, like climbing into the truck or was doing something. He's like, just a random dude. But then you see, like, the back of his head, and he had, like, a tiny little, like, clown face thing on the back of his head. You're like, what the fuck was that?
Well, yeah.
And it lasts for, like, 2 seconds, and I don't see it again.
One of the guys, he had those two giant Joker smile scars.
And then it's stapled together.
Stapled together, all fucking Itchy the Killer style.
Yeah.
I mean, crazy. Come on.
Everyone has, like, little things going on. Yeah. Like the Bullet Farm guy, when he goes blind.
He
gets blinded by, when they shoot at
the lights.
The lights.
Yeah. He goes blind. And then he does that whole, I am the, what, the blind scales of justice monologue
yeah.
while he's standing up, going like 80 miles an hour on a half tank, half hot rod.
Yes, the only one that can get through all the mud.
Yeah.
That thing was awesome.
And he's just literally with a blindfold around him because he is now blind.
He's not blind.
Blood running down his face, two automatic guns. You know, he's just firing blindly in the air.
Screaming
this crazy monologue about
it. And they're driving blindly because it's all like misty and foggy and everything.
Being the blind scales of justice.
And then it's pretty awesome when he's doing that. They're shooting at him, right? This one, like, they're stuck in the mud. And Max is just like, I'll go.
Dude, Tom Hardy says like five words the whole movie.
He does. And three of them are Max. And so he's like, and he gets a bunch of stuff. And he wanders off into the mist. Then we stay with Furiosa and the girls. Yeah. And they're just standing there watching.
You hear a couple gunfire.
You hear a couple things. Explosion. Wait a couple minutes, and then like he comes out of the fog, and it's Max, and he's like carrying all the shit that they need,
and he's covered in blood.
He's covered in blood, and he's like,
dropping everything down. One of the girls asks, "Are you okay? You're bleeding." And Furiosa looks at her and says, "It's not his blood."
Yeah, just starts cleaning himself with mother's milk. He's like, "Yeah, this is whatever." So he's mumbling, grumbling the whole time. There was at least one time I forgot the line, but kind of early on, he said one sentence.
Something about hope.
No, but he said something that the way he said it, I heard Mel Gibson. Like, I think, I'm pretty sure he was doing a Mel Gibson a lot of the time. He was definitely going for that half American, half Australian accent thing that Mel Gibson has naturally. Because it's a weird accent where it comes out so subtly here and there. You know, it's weird. Because anyway. And then I noticed halfway through Charlize Theron, she's doing an American accent the whole time, too. Like, why not let her do her normal South African accent? You know, everyone's all accented up and crazy here. This is an Australian production, isn't it?
I
think it is.
Yeah.
I think it is. They shot it in Namibia. Namibian desert?
Okay.
Because they were going to shoot it somewhere else, I think in Australia. in this area of Australia where it hadn't rained for like 100 years or some shit like that. It was super deserty. And right before they went to shoot there, it fucking rained, like monsoon style.
Nice.
And then they shot there to shoot up and everything was green and lush and gorgeous. And they're like, what the fuck? So they had to shut down production and move it to the Namibian desert, another place where it hasn't rained for like thousands of years or some shit like that. And they shot out there for 100 days. Something crazy. Imagine 100 days out there in the desert shooting this. You would go insane.
Yeah,
just driving into nothingness.
I mean, yeah. That almost sounds kind of fun, though.
It does sound like a good time. So, it does get to that point. I don't. There's like so many things going on.
So, dude, the movie is.
It just keeps moving. It just keeps moving.
It's a fever dream, and it's going in one direction, and then it turns around and it goes back.
I like how the whole thing. You mentioned the hallucinations.
Yes.
And how he keeps goes, and that was a very smart way of them to allude to like Max's past, where everyone he knows and people he's trying to help, like everyone dies around him and stuff, without having to like get. Have him explain it to someone, or you know, it was just quick flashes of stuff, and it was all weird and crazy looking.
And to where even if you haven't seen the movies in the past, you'd still understand.
You understand, yeah. A lot of deaths follow this guy, people that he's cared about, and it's bothering him. It bothers him, right? And there was that one point where, he thought he saw. It was in the middle of a fight. He thought he saw some kid like throw something at him, and he put his hand up to block it.
And it ended up blocking a dart. His hand was stuck to his head because the dart did go.
It went through his hand.
And kind of into his head a little bit, but not enough to kill him or even really slow him down.
Yeah, he just had to like yank his hand off.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty gnarly.
There's a lot of really gnarly deaths in that movie, Chris.
There are, dude. It's crazy.
It's so awesome. Lots of fire. Lots of fire.
Lots of fire. Lots of explosions. Huge explosions.
When cars explode in movies, I mean, they really go all out.
Yeah, and these ones are all super gassed up. I like when there's that one part
where they
were on the front of the hoods of their cars, and they're like spitting or pouring gas into the engine directly to like make them go faster. That was a lot of fun.
Well, it's all about positioning.
Oh, man. Yeah, so then they get to that point where first they get to the green place. And the green place, they find out,
they actually go through the green place?
She finds the last of the people, of her people, Furiosa's people, the last of them. And it's a bunch of old ladies riding BMXs and shit and like with guns and stuff. Yeah. Those people are pretty awesome.
They're pretty badass.
And they tell her, the green place. Yeah, you passed it. You drove through it. It's all fucked up now.
I mean, really, all the women in this movie that like, are there? I mean, they're just as badass as the dudes.
Yeah.
They're fucking running around, killing people, shooting them in the face.
Because it's all the survivors. at this point, everyone who has survived to this point is just tough enough to keep living, you know? Doesn't matter gender-wise or race or anything. It's just truly survival of the fucking fittest. And even then, not even fittest. Sometimes just the smartest or the craftiest. Because some of those people were not fit. Like the leader of the cannibal leader of the... Of the which one was that? Not the bullet farm, Gas Town. The fat guy with the who didn't have a nose.
Yeah, who had no nose
and his legs were all screwed up.
Yeah,
dude.
It seemed like all of the leaders weren't all that physically healthy. Just had
they're all
strong
decrepit
people around them.
They're all decrepit, but they had what they yes.
They were the smart ones.
That's yes. So fit in a different manner. Mm-hmm. So they get to a point where they find out. Okay, now you drove through the wasteland, that place with the creepy. Stiltwalker people. Yeah. That was that poison land.
Yeah, that was the green place.
That was the green place. So they're like, all right, we're just going to drive into the desert for 160 days and die. That's pretty much what they decided to do. And Max was like, no, let's go back to the citadel that is now not guarded and we'll just take it because that's where all the water is. I'm like, okay, we'll go do that. So they turn it around.
And they go right back the way they came.
Yeah, which is, I love that. I love that moment where they're sitting there like, you want us to go back? And it's like, you got this far. Now you're literally going to just turn around.
Literally, exactly. It's 160 days that way. It is one day the other.
So we're 1 or 2 days the other way. We're going to go back. We're going right through our pursuers. We're going to beat them back to their home base. And then we're going to call it our home base. Very genius. Suicidally genius. Mm-hmm. Very exciting. And then along the way, that final like leg of the big car chase where it's like the climactic one, right?
Yeah.
It all leads up to that moment where like Charlize Theron, I guess she uses her robot hand when she grabs the dude's Omar and Joe's face mask thing.
Yes.
And fucking rips it off.
Yep.
And it takes his face with him.
Yeah.
Gross.
Killing him.
Very gross.
Yeah.
And but happened very quick. But
oh
very,
yeah.
Very. Oof. And they kill him, and then they take his body back to the Citadel and present it.
And your leader is dead. I am the new leader.
King is dead. Long live the new king. Imperator. Queen. Imperator Furiosa. the Imperator is what she is. And she's going to be running that shit. And see, now here's the thing. So during that chase scene, right, she gets stabbed in the side.
Yeah.
And she's like super weak the whole time. Mm-hmm. And by that point, you know, a bunch of people had died. And I was like, oh shit, she could. Naturally, I would be thinking, oh shit, she could die too. Because, I mean, they killed Splendid, you know.
Well, it's they like, start talking.
This is that, a crazy
that,
world
that
like
she
that.
She just needs blood. That's all she needs.
Well, yeah, that ends up later. Yeah, yeah.
And Max is like, I'm a universal donor here. Take some of my blood. We'll do this whole blood bank thing again.
That ends up being the solution, which was that was pretty. I thought that was a pretty smart way to tie it all circle. Back to the beginning. But at first, I was thinking, you know, it would have been cool if I didn't know that George Miller had announced, back when he announced this road, he said, I got at least two movies right now. I have Mad Max Fury Road and Mad Max Furiosa.
Yeah.
Right. So then, going into this movie, you know, Furiosa is already going to be the center of the next movie. So I know she's not going to die in this one because the next movie is called Mad Max Furiosa. She can't die in this one, and then they named the next movie after her. It's not like some memorial type of thing. You know what I mean?
But is Max coming back? Because at the end,
of course,
this,
he is. Yeah. Tom Hardy had signed for three more Mad Max movies.
Ah, sweet.
Yeah. So they just need to be greenlit. But yeah. If they do get greenlit, he's signed off for three more. But the next one is going to be Mad Max Furiosa. So it could be about how, you know, now she's in charge of the Citadel and stuff. And what happened years after she, you know, maybe they get under attack or something. Or who knows? Maybe it'll be a direct sequel. Their plan is to make at least the next two Mad Max movies to do a thing where they, like, film them back to back. That type of stuff. So that's the plan. That's the plan. We'll see. That looks fucking...
Did the whole movie? It was so awesome.
It was so good. How come other movies can't be that good, Drew?
I don't know.
I mean, it's a simple story told well with exciting, comprehensible action sequences. Is that too much to ask for? I don't think so.
No.
And yet, we get something like Transformers, where it's almost 3 hours long, and you can't tell what's happening in the action because it's a jumbled mess, and the story involves so many things that it doesn't even matter anymore. It gets confusing and boring. You know?
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But this movie's not like that.
It's not setting up future movies. I mean, it could be, but...
It could,
If there's no more movies, this still tells a full story. The story's done.
Well, no, exactly. This is just...
Just like the other Mad Max movies.
This is just the next chapter in the Mad Max saga. Yeah. It's its own little self-contained story.
Yes.
That just happens to be in that universe.
Yeah.
And I think this is one of the few kind of franchise films that does that correctly.
Right.
You know?
It's like that, to an extent, Mission Impossible. Those movies aren't connected movie to movie. And quality-wise, they're, you know, hit and miss.
The only thing that connects them is characters, and that's the way it should be.
James Bond.
Yeah.
Most of those movies are like
the furthering adventures of.
So, yeah. Very exciting. Very exciting. Hopefully we get more of these Mad Max movies, and they'll keep being awesome because that was so good.
Yeah.
Such a good time. For sure.
No, that was definitely... I mean, I liked it more than Avengers. Is it going to make more money? Hell no.
Hell, not even close. But
I enjoyed it more.
Much more. Much more exciting, much more thrilling, original, unique, crazy movie.
So I mean, I don't know. I don't know who said it, but someone called it the Sistine Chapel of action
movies. That was a film critic on Twitter, Bill Jabiri. He said, "Call it the Sistine Chapel of action filmmaking."
I agree 100%.
Yeah, it is, right. It's a masterpiece. Yeah,
it really is.
It's an instant classic.
Uh huh.
Incredible.
Agreed.
So good.
Yeah.
Is there anything else, any other details from that you wanted to mention that stood out to you? I love the score. The score is great. The
score is awesome. I mean, yeah. Yeah. No, not really. We think we
got everything we wanted to get in there. All right. Well, if you haven't seen Mad Max and you listen to this whole thing, I don't know why you did that, but go see it. It's an awesome movie. If you have seen it already, go see it again. I want to go see it again.
Oh, I want to see it. Yeah, definitely.
Thanks for downloading and listening. We appreciate it, Drew. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And we'll be back this weekend with episode 124, the Memorial Day weekend episode of Cinema Crespediso.